Welcome to Shooting the Breeze, and we are coming to you live from Southern Cross Stadium in Tuggeranong. We're just getting ready for day two of the NBL One National Finals. And joining me, I've got Simon from WNBL Pulse, and it's kind of good to be doing a live pod live rather than kind of I'm in Sydney and you're in Canberra.
Yep, we can both be here seeing the same things and seeing the old Tuggeranong Stadium, Southern Cross Stadium here in Canberra being converted into these two big show courts for the NBL One Finals.
Absolutely, and it's been like a really great first day, and I think day two is going to be even better. Though I tell you what, you guys have here down here in Canberra have really turned on some pretty bizarre weather.
I mean,
we woke up this morning. We were driving down here and there's snow on the mountain.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that driving down as well. I just went, oh, wow. Okay. About 2 weeks ago, we had a couple of 17 and 18 degree days and we were thinking, yes, winter's over. But no, it's not.
No, it's back with a vengeance.
It sure is.
And it's got a bit of a bite in here as well, which probably will be good for the players being able to, you know, keep their temperatures down.
Yeah. Well, I was just shooting a coaching clinic over at Morris College and indoors there, and it was absolutely freezing. We started at 8 o'clock and with Will Lopez, who's the head coach for the Cairns Taipans.
Yep.
And he was struggling. He was going, "I'm from Cairns. This is horrible."
Yeah, bit of a change in weather there.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so look, let's talk about yesterday, because it had some really interesting results.
Mm.
And let's start off game one, Logan Thunder versus the Waverley Falcons. Now, I think one of the things that surprised everybody was Beck Cole and Carly Ernst were on the bench, but they weren't suited up.
Yeah.
And we found out during the day that actually they're not playing.
Mm.
So they're down here to support their team, but there's obviously, you know, something stopping them from taking the floor. One of the things I found interesting was the Falcons came out hard and got to a 17-point break at halftime. But then Logan came back. They actually at one point went for a 14-0 run, hauled it back in, and went to OT, where the final result was 85-81 to the Logan Thunder. I got to say, watching the first half, I didn't expect that outcome.
No, well, yeah, Logan just came back, like you said, with a vengeance. I was watching the other game, the Knox Manly game, but I came in at halftime and had a look, and I think at that stage, Waverley were up by 16 or 17, and I thought, oh boy, this is looks like it's going to be. And I hadn't noticed at that stage that that Beck wasn't going to be playing and Cody wasn't playing. So, yeah, just what a comeback. And Leah Scott, huge game.
Yeah. We thought that maybe they were resting Beck and Carly for day two, but we found out later in the afternoon that that wasn't the case. And, yeah, you know, it really was a surprising outcome, particularly when you think the captain for Logan, Michaela Cann, was fouled out at the end of the towards the end of the fourth quarter, and you know, they still came back, and she actually had a pretty disciplined game given she was at three fouls at the end of the first quarter.
Wow, that does make it a little hard. But, yeah, huge second half there for Logan. That was amazing, 42-27 in that second half. And, as you said, pushed it to OT and then got it done.
Yeah. I one of the things that surprised me when I was watching that last OT, the score did sort of jump back and forth a little bit through the OT section. Looking at the Logan bench, you could see their attitude was, there's no problem, we got this.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if there's a bit of the, we've been in this OT situation a few times for for Logan where they're just kind of going, situation normal for us.
Yeah, well, someone said like three of their last four games or something had gone to overtime. So they're just like, oh, yeah, another OT.
Yeah, just another OT.
Just get into OT and we're going to win. The OT specialists.
Absolutely. Now, also, let's look at a couple of the other games, because one of the things was that was a really close game. There's 4 points in it. But the other two games that were played, they had pretty significant margins. So the first one was Knox Raiders versus Manly Sea Eagles. That came in as a 70-42 scoreline. I got to be honest, I was a bit surprised by that scoreline, because I thought the game would have been a little bit closer than that, because, you know, Manly have put in some really good performances towards the back end of the East season.
Yeah, they've been white hot all the way through the East into finals, and yeah, that was a bit of a brick wall they came up against. But that Knox team is very, very good. I mean, look at the scorers. Christy Wallace, so good to see her running around again.
Yep.
She had 15. Paige Burrows had 14. Alicia Froling only had 2 points. And they still smacked them. So, you know, and they got up fairly quickly. So kind of limited minutes. I think Paige and Agnes Emanopu, they played about 25, 24 minutes each. Pretty sure their last quarter, they just emptied the bench for the entire last quarter of that game. So it was a bigger lead sort of at that three-quarter time, and Manly were able to eke it back a little bit. But, yeah, it was a scary nomination.
It was. And, well, like you said, this Knox team's been together for a while. The core for that Knox team's been around for a while together as well.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of stability in the team has really helped them at this business end of the season. But I think Agnes Emanopu's performance, you know, 8, 11 and 3 assists.
Yeah.
You know, she's a young player.
Yeah.
And she's posting numbers like that. So she knows how to bring the performances in those games that mean business.
Yep. No, it's going to be great to see her back in the WNBL this season as well. And but, yeah, Manly just really, really quiet. I mean, Taylor Wirtz had 12. She looked great. She looked sort of up to the challenge. But a couple of the other players just went a little bit MIA. Zoe Miller didn't score.
Yeah. We were at the East Finals, and you know, as a team, they played really well together. Mm. I mean, yes, I know the game was against the COE, and there was a number of changes in the COE roster across the year, which means there's a little bit of instability in terms of, you know, your rotations and how the players sort of feeling.
And then a coaching change for the finals as well.
Yeah, coaching change for the finals also. So it was a surprise to see Manly getting, you know, pushed around the court the way they were. I don't think it was necessarily a representative performance for them.
No, and I think, you know, like, what was the score? 70 points for Knox. That's not a huge score, but where Knox really, they're so good defensively. They're so well drilled. There's options every time they head down the floor, and yep, and they just do not give up. They're, you know, I only watched that game closely yesterday, but to me they appear to be like standout favourites.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah, they're definitely in my top two.
Yeah.
The other thing that was really good to see was the number of Knox fans that were in the stands.
They had a good crew.
They did. They had, yeah, a really good crew. I mean, when you think about it, it's like it's a six-hour drive from Melbourne,
yep,
to Canberra. And look, I'm sure people flew and whatever else, but the fact that you had a crew like that,
yeah,
in the stands,
yeah,
and they were loud and they were supporting their team every way, and there were a few times some of those calls and plays towards, I think it was probably in the back end of the third quarter,
mm,
where the crowd just got into it and they were making a lot more noise than their size.
Yeah. No, it was really, really good. I was very concerned. I don't know if you saw it. They have a little pitch and putt or a little putting competition.
Oh, yes.
At halftime, one of the Knox fans came out and she was swinging like she was trying to put it through the back wall. I thought, this person has never putted before in their life.
No, but the first person who did the putt in court too, the first person actually just did a really, like, and it was actually on target all the way until towards the very end.
Oh.
So, you know, I don't know who's actually come up with that as a halftime competition, but it's actually pretty good, except maybe just give them a bit of a putting lesson first.
Yeah. She had it like swung right up over a shoulder ready to just kill the ball, and I thought, this poor guy who's out there like talking through the competition at halftime, he's going to end up like with a putter in his head or something, or the ball's going to drill into the back wall. Yeah. So that was a bit of excitement for halftime.
It was.
You always like to see something exciting happening.
Yeah, but look, to be honest, like I said, I thought it was a great competition.
Yeah.
Whoever thought of it, great idea. You know, it's something I actually wouldn't mind seeing it a bit more, you know. Okay, game three yesterday, and this was like a real eye-opener.
Mm.
Coburn Cougars against the Woodville Warriors. Now, the scoreline at the end was 132-85.
Unreal.
But to be fair, Woodville was down four players. They didn't have Aaron Phillips. Yeah. They didn't have Jordan Hunter, Laura Erickstrup, and Ida Anderson.
Oh, wow.
Right. So you take those four out, and you'd start thinking that, yeah, this has got the potential to be, this would have been a fairly close game. But with those four out, you know, it was always going to be an uphill battle for Woodville.
I was very disappointed. I watched on Thursday night, the AFL had its Legends game.
Yep.
And there's all ex-AFL people and a couple of celebrities running around. And I saw Erin Phillips out there and I went, does that mean she's not coming to Canberra? I was very disappointed. Sorry, I know that was a great cause, Aaron, but we wanted to see you play again.
Yeah, absolutely.
One last time. Yeah, some massive outs for Woodville. Wow, that's a huge score for Coburn.
Huge score. And I think, you know, one of the standouts for Coburn was Ruby Porter. And maybe not so much for the scoreline, but nine steals.
Wow. Yeah, 34 points isn't bad either.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not taking anything away, but that 34 points, it was 6 3-pointers in that.
Yeah.
Right. I got to say, look, I'm not taking anything away in terms of scoreline, but nine steals, that's bringing in the performance at the pointy end of the season. And it's performances like that that really end up, you know, shaking up the outcomes towards the end.
I mean, any team in any game would be happy as a team to have nine steals.
Oh, yeah.
So you got one player with nine steals. That sort of speaks to their dominance.
Yeah.
And how they were really able to just clamp that game down. It was, a very, very big win. Not the sort of result you'd expect in a national final. And it certainly looked like there wasn't much defense played by either team.
No.
If a team's getting smacked and they still get 85,
yeah,
that's pretty huge.
Yeah. So let's just for a minute talk about what's coming up today, because there's some really interesting matchups.
Mm.
Woodville Warriors are taking on Manly Sea Eagles, and the noise in the background that you're hearing is the two teams warming up for the game that tips off in about 40 minutes.
Yep.
And that's going to be followed up by Knox versus Waverley, which is going to be a game that I think is going to have a really big crowd showing up for it.
Yeah.
It's the Battle of the South. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I think, look, to be honest, Knox has probably got the edge, particularly given that Carly and Beck won't be taking to the floor.
Yep.
But then again, I don't think you can count out the Falcons either.
No, well, clearly, you know, they, without those two big guns, they almost got it done yesterday.
Yeah.
So you would not count them out at all.
No. And then the final women's game at 2 p.m. is going to be a real, real interesting one. Coburn versus Logan.
Mm.
And I think that's the one that's got the potential for a surprise outcome. I mean, given yesterday's performance, you've got to be leaning towards Coburn. That being said, Logan just seems to be able to pull the dub out of the hat.
Yep.
If it goes to OT.
They'd be feeling invincible in some way. Just going, we take all comers. We just get them, push them to OT, and then we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they've got a, the team has a really good attitude. Like I said, yesterday during OT, they really were. They had their head up. They were cheering. They were clapping. They were, you know, really pushing their teammates on. So absolutely no question. They've got a really great attitude. And even Michaela Cann, when she went out at towards the end of the fourth quarter, she was telling her team, no problems. This is no problem. Just do your thing.
Yeah.
We know what we need to do to get it done. And they did. So that also speaks to the maturity of the player roster and how they approach their games.
Yeah, I mean, when she went out, she was 16-5 and 7 assists.
Yeah.
Only playing, you know, 32-odd minutes. So you'd expect in a game, in a bigger game, she can stay out of foul trouble. She's going to be that factor always.
Yeah.
But, that's going to be a cracker, I reckon. It'll be – like, obviously, Woodville were very underdone.
Yes.
And, you know, so Coburn probably have gone, yep, okay, we got that one easy, but I'm not going to step into this game thinking, oh, this will be a breeze as well.
Oh, no.
It should be a cracker.
I don't think anybody's going to be taking any of these games for granted at the moment. You know, we're watching some of the Manly players heading out to practice court after, you know, doing a little bit of – having a bit of a chat back here behind the grandstand.
NBL One Media, yep.
And doing some NBL One Media, yep.
Have you had a lot of Red Bull this weekend?
No.
No, there's Red Bull everywhere.
There is Red Bull everywhere.
It seems a curious choice for sport, but what do I know?
Well, you know, sugar and caffeine.
Yeah. Look, I get it, but, but yeah.
Okay, so we can't do something like this without going out on a bit of a limb. To be honest, who do you think is going to be in the final game?
I think Knox will definitely get there.
Yep.
I think Logan. I think because they've just got that belief.
Yeah.
And Michaela has been around for so long.
Yep.
She's such a smart player, you know, very, very experienced, and clearly they've got the pieces to get it done.
Yep.
That's going to be my pick. I'm going to go Knox versus Logan.
Okay. Look, I'm thinking Knox Coburn with a, but there's I got a question mark around it because Logan's the dark horse. I don't think there's a lot between those three teams.
But there's something about a team that can be down by – they were down by 20 plus.
Yeah, that's right. Game yesterday. And they bring it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just go, no worries. We just do what we need to do, claw it back, and, you know, not give up.
Yeah. And that's got to also say a lot about the coaching staff for that team as well.
Yep.
Being able to instill that level of self-belief in the players.
Yeah, self-belief and trust and, you know, those are big things. And, you know, Coburn were – super impressive, and particularly, you know, Ruby Porter. Is she going to get 35 and 9 steals again? Probably not. If she does, awesome. You know, we get to watch an amazing individual performance again. But, yeah, no, I just feel that Logan have got so much belief.
Yeah.
And they're just so well-rounded. They've got all the pieces in place, and I think it'll be them and Knox.
Okay. And, all right, so let's go for the really, you know, far-out prediction. Out of that game, who do you think would take it?
I think Knox.
Knox.
Just watching them yesterday, I mean, there were moments in that game where they were basically in second gear.
Yeah.
You know, they were not pushed for periods of it at all. They just they cruised through that. You know, only put up 70 points in a game that they were winning comfortably.
Yeah.
I think, you know, once they hit high gear and you get, you know, Alicia Froling doesn't have too many games at this level where she only scores 2 points.
Yep.
And doesn't pull in a billion rebounds. So, you know, Christy Wallace looked fantastic. Paige Burrows looked really, really good. I think they've got the pieces, and I just really love their defensive intensity. They do not give up on anything.
Well, when you get to this point, I don't think too many teams really do sort of take a step back or, you know, they might get a little bit flustered, but, you know, that's about it. I think Yeah, no, Knox is, I agree with you, they're the favourite, but I still see Logan as a dark horse.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of, you know, the way they have performed so much over the last couple of days, and, you know, particularly the NBL 1 North Finals, right? They went to three games. Their first game, they got punished.
Yep.
And then game two and game three, they just came back and they weren't going to stop. And, you know, I think they really, really, they've got that self-belief, and I don't think that's the X factor that you can't really, you know, do a calculation.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. I mean, both teams have got that experience. They've got strong backcourts.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's going to be great. It's just stoked that we're here in Canberra this year, and I get to watch it all and not have to jump on a KO.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, we've got to remind everybody that you will be able to catch all the action from here at Tuggeranong's Southern Cross Stadium on KO Freebies. So, you know, if you could make it, you're not missing out. But there's one other thing that I want to talk a little bit about, because I think it's something that not necessarily people, you know, think a lot about, and that is the impact that NBL 1 has been having on WNBL in terms of players getting that consistent, continuous opportunity to play and getting the chance to up their skills to the point where they do get into contention for WNBL slots, whereas if we go back a few years, maybe that wouldn't have been the case.
No. We've talked about this. I think the two of us have talked about it. We've certainly talked about it on the Pulse.
Yeah.
That it's a legitimate pathway to the WNBL now is NBL 1. You can come in, and we've seen it with several imports over the last few years. I mean, Nicole Munger came in through there. You know, she started playing with Newcastle and caught Kristen Veal's eye and was recruited to the Capitals out of the NBL 1.
Yep.
You know, there's a couple of, I'm just struggling at this early Saturday morning to remember people's names, but I know there's been a few of them that have come up that way already, and now it's a legitimate option, because not everyone can go and, you know, once junior players go through that college system and come back, if they're not going to the WNBA, then what else do they do?
True.
And I think that's a bonus for the NBL 1. It means that we're going to get a higher quality of players coming through here. Just seeing how many teams in across all conferences have imports at this NBL 1 level. They are obviously thinking, you know, this is an opportunity to get through to the WNBL.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, they're the kind of people that just love to go and play overseas and have a great time somewhere else. But it's all good, and it's all looking up for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Sydney's picked up Maddie Norris, who's come out from the NBL 1.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've also got Unique Thompson coming into Sydney as well.
Yep.
Right. And, of course, we've got to give a big shout-out to Sammy Mack down in Albury, coach of the Bandits.
Just re-signed for 2 years.
Re-signed for 2 years.
Go, coach.
Yep. And, you know, you can always keep sending your stars to the Flames. It's not a problem.
Like the Flames feeder team.
I'm sure.
Although Jacko went to the Flyers. So,
yeah, true. So one of the other things, you know, as we talk a little bit about NBL 1, is I suppose when we think back to when NBL 1 started, you know, there were, look, we got to be honest, there were a lot of rough edges, right, as with any new competition. But over time, it's evolved. And, you know, what we've seen here today, over the last couple of days, in terms of organisation, in terms of, you know, the game action, everything that's been going on around the competition, it's been really great. I've got to say, look, from our perspective, the media team here have also been amazingly helpful.
Yep.
And that's showing the real professionalism that's really starting to build around the NBL 1. And I think that's also translating into what's happening with WNBL now with the, you know, change in ownership and what's happening there as well.
Yep. No, it's good. Like, you know, it's the old the rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. Everyone is stepping up with professionalism. I think since the NBL one has taken over the old, you know, what the old
Siebel
and what everyone else is sort of that level, that level below National League. I think by incorporating it all into one thing, it does, and it does create this sort of nationals congregation at the end of the season. And it's really a good place to just, like you said, you know, play your trade. If you're not at that WNBA level, if you're WNBL starter or a stalwart and you go, look, I've got to stay in touch, but I'm just going to stay home. And it's, you know, and we see a lot of WNBL players just do exactly that. They go back to wherever home is and they stay at those levels. Some of them travel all over, but it's just really symbiotic now, which is great. Yeah. And it's, like we said, it's a definite pathway into the big W.
Yep.
And it's just great to see it sort of leaping ahead and going from strength to strength. And now we've got the WNBL 2.0.
Yep.
Which we're all waiting with bated breath.
Yes.
To see how that's all coming out. Looks pretty good at the moment.
It does indeed.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the other things that we really haven't touched on, but it's also associated with this, is the pathway from NBL 1. Doesn't necessarily translate just to WNBL. There's also the Tauihi League over in New Zealand.
Yep.
We've talked about this before. I know we certainly have on this, on Shooting the Breeze. That is that the timing of the Tauihi League means they go over, they play, and they're home for Christmas.
Yep.
So it's not literally a 12-month cycle of playing basketball.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of time. You're coming out of Tauihi, you've got, you know, 3 or 4 months to rest and recover before you actually get into the NBL 1 season.
Mm.
So, you know, I think there's a real pathway there. And obviously, you know, I think one of the big signings for NBL 1, from NBL 1 and WNBL 2 Tauihi League, was Beck Cole.
Yep. Just saw yesterday Christy Wallace is playing at that same team, the Queens.
The Queens.
She signed on over there.
The Queens are starting to look like a seriously stacked
super team.
They're
giving like New York Liberty vibes.
Yeah, and look, you know, we actually interviewed one of the principals of the team, Rachel Talalay, some time back, and it really comes across as a team that's very, very heavily community oriented, which is always a really good thing to see.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see how that pans out. And, you know, it's kind of like an early mid-December grand final over there.
Yeah.
It's probably a good time to go for a short trip to New Zealand, maybe, just to go and catch something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking we need to do a live pod over there to go watch some games and catching some New Zealand time and just settle out a bit. It's a different kind of feel because they've got that sort of two-tiered system where the benchies all playing that extra game.
Oh, yeah, the Rapid League.
The Rapid League, that's right.
The Rapid League is great. I don't know if you've had much of a chance to watch some of those games on YouTube over here. It is a spectacular game to watch because, you know, these are bench players who, honestly, on a regular season and for a while, they're not going to get regular minutes. Oh. And when they go out there, it's like, pedal to the metal.
Boom, let's go. Let me show you what I've got. I like the idea. I think it's really good. I mean, the coach in me goes, I don't want my benchies all getting injured playing Rapid League and things like that. But, you know, it's an opportunity for those players that might be on the cusp of getting into that competition to show what they've got, to say, hey, coach, you know, watch me take over this game down here and maybe I'll sneak a spot into the starting five of the main competition. But
and on top of that, it gives us an opportunity to get, you know, to have some visibility to NBL 1 coaches.
Absolutely. Yep. And WNBL coaches are going to be paying attention to it too.
Oh, for sure. And we also have to give a shout out to a previous guest we've had on the show, which is Justin Nelson.
Yeah.
Whose idea the Rapid League was. And, you know, he's returned to Melbourne and he's involved with the NBL now.
Right. Didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he's back in Australia and he's working with the NBL.
Right.
So, you know, big shout out to Justin. Congratulations on your role, I believe as the chief club officer in the NBL.
Yep.
And I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot of really interesting ideas coming out for basketball across the board from Justin.
He's certainly the innovator.
Ah, definitely
is. It's great. And that's what we need. You know, we need people to breathe some life back into it. And, I mean, I am a bit traditionalist. Like, I don't get excited over 3-on-3 and that sort of stuff. But it's exciting to have some – like, I like that – I do like that Rapid League thing. That's pretty cool.
It is. It's such a great idea. I mean, look, when it first came out, I got to be honest, we had him on the show and we were talking about it. I was like, I wasn't 100% certain because of, you know, other issues like, is it going to leave tired legs for teams during games and so on? But...
Because they do play one after the other, don't they?
Yeah.
They play the Rapid League game first.
And then the big game. So, you know, some tired legs. But overall, you know... After seeing it play, the evidence says it works.
And it's a shorter game too, isn't it?
It is a shorter game. Yeah. And, you know, the captain gets to have a lot more involvement in calling timeouts and whatnot is also. So, yeah, it is different.
Like and a college vibe.
Yeah. I find it really interesting. So, you know, there seems to be this real ecosystem around basketball building, particularly, you know, between Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I think it's making Australia and New Zealand a positive and preferred option for a lot of players.
Yeah.
Right? Particularly if they don't want to hang around, don't want to get a European winter. I want to sort of come down to the Southern Hemisphere and kind of get 12 months of summer.
For sure. And, you know, the social media stuff's been coming out about where should the WNBL be getting its next franchises from, and we know that the Jack Jumpers are probably first cab off the rank there, and that Brisbane group has put their hand up as well. But you've got to be thinking if we are successful and are able to expand the league any further, you've got to have a New Zealand team back in.
True. I'll tell you what I'd like to see. I would love to see an opening game for the NBL 1 season, which is NBL 1 national finalist versus Tauihi finalist. Yeah. You know, I reckon that would be an absolutely amazing way to start the season.
For sure.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
They do something like that with rugby league as well, where they get, you know, the champions of the UK league versus the champions of the Australian NRL, and they go and play a game somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. But I think this would be good because it would also help to build up that, you know, cross-Tasman rivalry.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe we can beat them more often than we do the All Blacks.
Yeah, I mean, the world is that's not going to be hard. We'll never beat the All Blacks. The world is a smaller place now. And it's, you know, it's quicker to fly to New Zealand than it is to go to Perth.
Yeah, true.
Or Darwin, you know, a lot of people are putting up the suggestion that you have like the Darwin Salties have a WNBL team there. That's a long way.
It is a long way.
5-6 hours for some places. Yeah. But, you know, Auckland, 2 hours.
Yeah.
From the East Coast. It just makes sense to have New Zealand part of it, like in the NBL.
Yeah. Okay, one last thing that I'd like to touch on is, you know, with this WNBL season coming up, Canberra has, on paper, put together a pretty strong team.
So excited. As everyone knows, it's been a lean couple of years since we went back-to-back at the end of the noughties.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, really, really exciting that this group that Gorry and the Caps have been able to put together. And I've chatted with Jado about it. She cannot wait to get back here and get into it. I was chatting with Coach Goris yesterday as well, and he was just beaming. He's very excited for this group, getting them all in here. And our French import is already here in Canberra, and he's been working out with her already, and is just very, very excited about where she's at. So it's us Capitals fans and Canberra fans, we're very, very excited about this this new group. And that's a good thing about this these finals. When they come along, you get excited about seeing the best that the NBL one's got to offer, but you go, okay, we're only about 4 to 6 weeks away from the WNBL coming back. And and I think, you know, everyone is so excited about what this new league is going to look like.
Yeah.
Certainly on paper and behind the scenes, we've seen a lot of changes. We've seen three clubs change their logo,
yes,
change up their color schemes. It's been really, I think, embraced as an opportunity to really take it on as a new era.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really exciting.
Cannot wait. And as you said, it's only a few weeks before the WNBL tips off.
50 days. Thursday there was a post that came out from Geelong.
Yep. And we're still waiting to find out where game one is going to be played. And I'm sure that it's going to be a big announcement, but we'll hang fire.
I'm pretty confident it's going to be in Melbourne. Pretty confident.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what comes out of it.
Yeah, and we'll definitely be heading down for that one.
Yeah. Okay.
That's going to be a screamer. It's going to be great.
Game one for today is just about to tip off. In 15 minutes between the Woodville and Manly, catch it on KO Freebies. And Simon, it's been great talking to you. And doing this one face to face as well, which is really cool.
It's much easier.
It definitely is. And can't wait to see how today's games are going to pan out.
Yep. And if you're a Canberra fan and you're not just wanting to watch the women's games, and the Gunners won their game yesterday, the Canberra Gunners, and they're on at 4 p.m. this afternoon as well down here at Dagenham. So if you're in Canberra, get around it. But some great games kicking off with this first one now at 11:30.
Okay. Thanks, Simon. And we'll be looking forward to catching the day's action.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.